It's my pleasure and honor to be here to talk about the issue of military sexual slavery by Japan. Grandmother Chang is one of the now 115 survivors in South Korea, including this lady who is living in New York but does not want to be identified. So altogether, 215 women came forward since 1991, and already 100 of them have died. So we have now 115. Actually, I arrived in New York on July 4th, the holiday, to attend the CEDAW meeting. And then while I'm here for almost 3 weeks now, three women passed away. This year alone, already 13 passed away. So that is the situation because they are in their late 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I would like to give you a little analysis of this issue, the nature of this issue. This is issue of sexism, because they are all women, as so-called comfort women, the sexual slave of Japanese soldiers. This issue is classism, because most of them are from the rural, poor family. Daughters from rich family could avoid in whatever way they could, you know. This issue is also about racism, because there was hierarchy. So the Japanese comfort woman was on the top, dealing usually with officers, and then Korean women next, and then Chinese women were at the bottom. And wherever the Japanese soldiers went, Taiwanese, Filipinos, Indonesians, even Dutch women were their slaves. So it involves racism. When the World War II was over, there was Batavia trial in Indonesia, putting the Japanese soldiers and officers on trial, and 12 soldiers and officers were sentenced, including two of them sentenced to death. So there was trial regarding their crimes against Dutch women, but there was no trial on this issue regarding their crimes against Asian women. This issue is also about militarism, because Japan waged this war, and we are now these days very much worried about this recent revival of new right-wing militaristic expansion into the Asian region, denying their past crimes, and then Japan tried to change their constitution regarding the Article 9 on not having this army. The most frequent question I did receive after we raised this issue around the UN especially was, why now, 50 years later? Why these women had to keep silence? And I think there were three factors. First, because they were women, and in Korean patriarchal society, women didn't have any voice. And those women who were raped had to live in silence. It was their shame, and many women have committed suicide when they were raped. So this issue is closely tied with the patriarchal ideology of fidelity and chastity and all these dual ideology on sexuality. Korea was also under military dictatorship for a long time. So under the dictatorship, we didn't have freedom of speech, and many social issues were suppressed, including trade unions. And many of us who were involved in the democracy movement had to use secret codes when we talked on the telephone, because we were constantly on surveillance, you know, in our houses, in our workplaces. So it was only possible after we really want to express ourselves since 1987. And this issue was publicly mentioned the first time in 1988, when there was International Conference on Women and Tourism Culture in April of 1988, which was the Olympic year. So women were worried whether there would be more sex tourism in case when we have more tourists because of the Olympic Games. So this issue was first brought up at this international conference, and then women's organizations decided to take up this issue. So Korean Council is a coalition of 21 organizations, and we took this issue as a single issue that major organizations must tackle. And the Korean Council was established in 1990. We didn't know that we should exist this long. We thought that this would be solved after a few years, but still, we had to keep our work. The third factor is the status of Republic of Korea vis-a-vis Japan was very weak economically, politically. So any issue regarding Japan, we could not speak about. So this gender issue, and then dictatorship, and then Korea's status vis-a-vis Japan. So those three factors which suppressed this issue at the national level, of course, as well as at the international level. the reason why women's organizations considered this issue important is because this is not a past issue. We think that it is very present, not only because these women are still living nightmares and traumas, both physical and mental. All of these women have scars on their bodies. Even some of them have tattoos in their stomach and their names in Japanese words in the back, etc. But their psychological trauma, because they are still dreaming of being chased by somebody at night. But we think this issue is also very current because we now all see the war and armed conflict that's happening. And when Korean government decided to dispatch our troop to Iraq, we have 3,000 soldiers in Iraq. We had a demonstration for several months. And one of these survivors, they also participated, several of them participated in our anti-war demonstration. And when this Avgrave scandal came out, and then it was reported in our newspaper, television, and one of the women, Kil Won-ok, she said that when she saw these Iraqi soldiers naked and then chained and then dragged, she couldn't sleep at night because this all revived her memories when she had to be naked and being raped. So these survivors has this ability to connect their own atrocities and past experience into the current situation of war. Grandmother Jang Jeom-dol, she's participating in this conference on armed conflict here in New York in the UN, and she's against any war because it brings all this violence against women during the armed conflict and war. This year, we are concentrating on three things. One is global petition. And just today at 4:30, we delivered almost 550,000 signatures, you know, more than 500,000 signatures we collected from around the world to human rights officers. And initially, they, one woman and one man, and this woman, human rights officer, told me that they will deliver this to High Commissioner on Human Rights, Ms. Luisa Abbas. So I said, oh, no. I already met her in April when we attended Commission on Human Rights, already delivered her 200,000 signatures, you know, collected so far up to that point. And at the time, another survivor was with us, Shim Daryeon, halmoni, grandma. So we want to deliver this. Actually, I have a copy of this letter to Secretary General Kofi Annan. So I hope that you would deliver our letter to the Secretary General with these signatures, because we brought two full boxes of signatures, more than 500,000. And then I asked her, you are not going to throw these away, are you? And then she said, oh, no. So I asked her, please make sure that Secretary General receives this letter as well as he sees these signatures. And on August 12th, we are going to deliver our final batches of the signatures to the Japanese government as a, you know, expression of international pressure. So I think as long as Japan does not fulfill its responsibility and tries to be a permanent member of the UN Security Council, I think we have to continue with this campaign, even maybe into next year. And then now the issue of Japan's joining the permanent member of Security Council is still very much at high pressure. And I think we have to do everything to stop that, because I believe that Japan is not qualified to be a political leader with all those crimes and then no responsibility. Another thing that we are aiming at is worldwide simultaneous demonstration on August 10. Since January 8, 1992, there has been demonstration every Wednesday at noon in front of the Japanese embassy in Seoul. And this year, in commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the end of World War II, we want to really have worldwide demonstrations. So I hope that you in New York would organize the same thing on August 10 here in New York, maybe somewhere in front of the UN. And the third thing, finally, is the establishment of War and Women's Human Rights Museum. We didn't discuss it together, but accidentally, Japan, Bionet Japan, Violence Against Women in War Network Japan, and Taiwanese Women's Rescue Foundation, and Korean Council in Korea, three organizations started this at the same time, and all of us are trying to build a museum out of this so that we can continue history education and peace education and what these women had to go through and how we can prevent these things for our future generation. And I'm really grateful to the Korea Society as well as New York Coalition on Comfort Women Issues. And I thank you very much for your coming. Thank you.